Square today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
The death by suicide of a 12-year-old child has prompted calls for an emergency state response to what's called a pandemic of suicide in the traveller community. A distraught family from Dublin is preparing to bury their child today, and Pavé Point is pleading with the Taoiseach to intervene. Our opening guest this morning said he was aware of unconfirmed reports of the deaths by suicide of two other young traveller children under 12 within the last 7 days, but that is yet to be substantiated. And in an article recently by Katie Holland and Kathleen Harris in the Irish Times, it opened by saying travellers are not treated like second-class citizens. They are, and I quote, treated as rubbish. A protest demanding government action on the community's mental health crisis heard last week. In an impassioned speech, write the journalist, Senator Eileen Flynn, the first and only traveller member of the Oireachtas, told the demonstration outside Leinster House she felt shame that after 2 years in office and her begging, her word she used, there remained no national traveller mental health strategy, with traveller children as young as 11 dying by suicide, while young travellers felt they had no future, said Miss Flynn, who was appointed to her seat by Taoiseach Micheál Martin. Let's get a reaction on that tragic situation now from the co-director of Pavé Point, the Traveller and Roma Support Centre, Martin Collins. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning to you and your listeners.
First of all, Martin, let me, on behalf of all our listeners and ourselves here, extend our deepest sympathies to the families of those young children, and indeed to you and your members of the travelling community. It is an enormously and difficult to comprehend situation. I suppose if I might open by referring to a tweet I saw last night which said, Irish traveller kids as young as 9 are committing suicide because of the ongoing racism they face. Irish travellers as a whole are expected to die 11 to 15 years earlier than non-travellers. Half of Irish travellers do not live past 39. This means middle age for travellers is 18. What's your response to the overall situation that you've encountered during the past few days?
Well, first of all, let me start by conveying my own personal and indeed Pavé Point's condolences to the bereaved families of at least, I can confirm, two young children, 12 and 13 years of age, one in the Midlands and one in Dublin, who committed suicide in the last 2 weeks. So my heart goes out to those families. It's absolutely shocking. You know, but at the same time, not surprising. In the last 10, 15, 20 years, we've seen, unfortunately, a growing trend of young people in our community taking their own lives. And we have called on the government consistently, and we had a protest there recently, as you have alluded to call for the full development and implementation of the long-promised National Traveller Mental Health Strategy. This was a commitment in the programme for government, but unfortunately we haven't seen any movement in that regard. So we do need a strategy, we do need a policy response to what I and others would describe essentially as a pandemic in our community. We know very well, it's very well documented, that the suicide rate in our community is 7 times higher than the national average. And in fact, 11% of all deaths in our community is by suicide. So if that doesn't constitute a crisis, I honestly don't know what does.
I mean, suicide, the tragedy of suicide, of somebody being in such a dark place to take their own life, is almost incomprehensible for those of us who are lucky enough not to be struggling with mental health or racism or other issues. But when one hears, Martin, of the death of a child, it's nearly beyond the possibility of grasping and understanding around that as to why children as young as 12, maybe 11 even, and even as young as 9, end up taking their own life in what is the ultimate act of desperation.
Yeah, and I think, you know, suicide, as we all know, and mental health issues are very complex, they're multifaceted, and there's lots of factors, you know, which give rise to mental health issues and indeed suicidal tendencies. And in our situation, I don't think you can divorce mental health issues and the level of suicide from the context in which our community finds itself in.
And what is that context, Martin?
Well, for example, we have about 8,000 individuals who are living in what is akin to conditions that you'll see in a developing country. We have 8,000 individuals living in deprivation and squalor, no access to water, sanitation and refuse collection, electricity supply, high levels of unemployment. 85% of our community are unemployed, low educational attainment. Less than 1% of travellers go to university. In fact, we have more travellers in Irish jails than we do in universities, which I think speaks volumes. Then, of course, we have to acknowledge, and this is also acknowledged by WHO, the World Health Organization, that racism, discrimination and exclusion also have a big impact on your mental health and your mental health well-being. And then, of course, you know, we've had centuries here, not only of racism and discrimination, but we've had centuries of where our cultural identity, our history and our language has been essentially taken away from us. And we have been defined as a subculture of poverty, failed settled people who just need to be civilised and normalised by the state. That racist ideology has prevailed on this island for centuries. So, of course, if you've been stripped of your cultural identity and your cultural integrity, that too, of course, has an impact on your mental health.
Going back to that article and that protest that was held recently at which you attended yourself and spoke at, Eileen Flynn, and I quote further from her speech on that topic of discrimination and racism, which indeed that young man on Twitter last night, who's known as Ash, pointed out about that he was attributing the reasons because of the ongoing racism they face. Speculation, and I'm not going to comment other than describe the speculation, that these young children taking their lives are doing so in response to bullying and encountering racism at that very young age in schools. Eileen Flynn said, people are dying due to discrimination. It's so tough to be yourself and be a member of the travelling community. You can't walk up the bleeding street that somebody has something to say to you just because you're a traveller. Who's being held accountable to these lives? Absolutely nobody, she said. We as a community, less than 40,000 people, we wouldn't even fill Croke Park. And yet, we are the most ill-treated people within Irish society. Enough is enough. It is about time that Minister for Mental Health, Mary Butler, when she won't listen to a sitting senator, that she listens to our community. We are not treated as second-class citizens in this state. We're treated as rubbish. Extremely strong words. And you point out that of those 40,000, you're saying 80% of them are?
Well, 85% of our community is actually unemployed.
Yes.
Compared to something like, I think it's 3% in the majority population. So look, at, I mean, there are many statistics I can articulate here this morning, but I don't want to bore your listeners. But all I will say is that the overall situation of travellers in Ireland is very well researched, it is very well documented, and we are talking here about, as I say, high unemployment rates, low educational attainment, poor health status, racism and discrimination, poor living conditions. So all of these combined collectively, give rise to a context where travellers' mental health is at a crisis point, essentially.
Let's focus on the idea, that appalling tragedy of where it's filtering down to young children. Children who have not even reached their teenage years, and we know there have been suicides of teenagers in the traveller community and, of course, also in the settled community. But when people hear that kids of 11, 10 and 9 are taking their lives, what, if anything, needs to be done about that, Martin?
Well, I think at a more macro level, what needs to happen is just a little over 5% of the overall health budget is actually allocated to mental health services. That's insufficient. And WHO, the World Health Organization, have argued that should be 12% of our overall health budget should be spent on mental health services. So to begin with, we need a lot more investment and a lot more resources into developing our mental health services. That's number one. And number two, to be travel specific, travel organizations are looking for enhanced resources and funding so we can actually employ workers who can reach out to our community, who can give support and advice and refer travelers to various services to get counselling, etc. That's really needed. And I would make the overall point as well to everybody out there who's listening, you know, whether you're a traveller or a non-traveller, you know, that if you're feeling, you know, not well, you know, and you're having negative thoughts or feeling a little bit depressed, it is really important. I would encourage you very strongly to reach out, talk, you know, to your teacher, talk to the youth worker, talk to the local priest, talk to a trusted friend. It really is important. You know, there's no stigma, there's no shame to mental health issues.
But Martin, and we'll give out numbers at the end of the discussion, you referenced there, you know, the greater society. The travellers, no matter how much you and your marvellous advocation and yourself personally advocate, you as a community can never solve this problem. This problem can only be solved by the wider society. What then about the antipathy that still seems to be widespread amongst greater Irish society towards your community?
Well, at the moment, the government are about to launch a new national action plan against racism. And Paddy Point, along with many other tribal organisations, were involved in trying to influence that national action plan and its recommendations. That'll be launched in the next couple of weeks, I understand. So we welcome that, because there needs to be an acknowledgement. And to be fair, there is an acknowledgement that we do have systemic, institutionalised racism in this society. And tribals are not the only group that experiences. There are many other ethnic minorities who also experience this systemic racism. So we welcome that, and we look forward to working with the government in implementing that National Action Plan against racism. Then secondly, we're actually now in the process of working with Minister Roger O'Gorman's department, Minister for Equality and Children, in developing a national tribal Roma inclusion strategy. This is a requirement by the European Commission that every member state has to develop a national action plan for the inclusion of travellers and Roma, and that will deal with issues of discrimination, exclusion, poor living conditions, low educational attainment and high unemployment rates. So we are, as I say, right now in the process of putting that together. But of course, there's policy implementation fatigue in this country. You know, we have worked with the government in the past in developing policies, but quite often these policies don't get implemented. That's the biggest challenge we have. It's not so much a challenge in agreeing a policy. The problem or the challenge is seeing that policy being implemented and making a real difference on the ground in the lives of travellers and Roma.
I was moved to actually ask Owen, our producer, to contact you for this discussion, because when I saw the photograph of that young boy, and we won't give any further details, other than in his school uniform, and he looked, you know, so remarkably like every other child, and why would he look any different? Yep. And to think that that young child, 12 years of age, was in the throes of such despair for whatever reason that he chose the ultimate sanction, to take his own life. I was absolutely hugely moved by that, and then the stories of other children in the community. And thank you again, Martin, and once again we extend our sympathies to the family of that young boy, and indeed the general traveller community, on this pandemic, as you describe it, which is afflicting your community. And it behoves us all in society, indeed, to address our attitudes all round, particularly in that widespread issue of racism that certainly is prevalent in Irish society. Thank you, Martin. Martin Collins is co-director of Paddy Point, the Traveller and Roma Support Centre. Thank you, Martin, for joining us this morning on Kildare Today. Okay, folks, what can you say beyond that? I mean, okay, I won't say anything, because no words that I would say can articulate the sorrow of a situation where children are moved to take their own life.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. If you've been impacted by that discussion we had with Martin, we have about half a dozen numbers that I can give out to you in just a moment now, by the way. So if you just want to grab Byros in case you might be able to avail of any of those or need to avail of any of those numbers. People getting a bit energised regarding the installation of phones in prisoner cells. Morning, lads. Sure, why don't we give all those prisoners the broadband, free heating, three square meals, not sleeping on hotel dance rooms, free medication at an average of €100 per day with the joy of early releases? But should they get that already? I don't know about the broadband, but there's heating. There's three square meals a day. They don't have to sleep on the floor. And medication, I imagine, medical care is free as well. That's all there. So, I mean, why not throw in an old phone as well? Clem McCorris says, Shannon, it's better for road safety and for child protection reasons that we have new rules that don't allow unauthorised car sharing. It protects both children and adults. I was a volunteer leader, says Shannon O'Christine, in Kilcock Club a decade ago. And before we could do anything in the club, we had to do child protection training in the Feroiga Training Centre in Monreed in Nace. Absolutely take the point, Shannon. Thanks for that, about the need for such care nowadays. I'm just lamenting the fact that of those days when we all piled into cars and went off innocent. But sure, we're no longer living in an innocent society, are we? Morning, Clem. What a cracking match Clare played on Saturday. I thought you'd be jumping hoops this morning, says Breda. Breda, not at all. No hopes on that. We're very, very lucky to get out of that game. Cracking last 15 minutes. But by God, the performance left a lot to be desired. And that's because Wexford were playing a lot, lot better. The Galway-Cork game, lads, was so boring. God almighty. Cork must be waking up today and say, how did we lose that game? Anyway, except for Aina Whelan at corner forward for Galway, they'd have been in trouble too. He's an amazing hurler. Yeah, bring on the Cats in a couple of weeks' time. Brian Lohan against Brian Cody, the two Brians, Brian Baru against the other Brian. Anyway, those numbers, I want to give those out before Kira moves on to the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District meeting. So if your pens ready now, please. So we have a helpline here. We have the Samaritans for a start. It's a Dublin number, 01-11-61-23. That number doesn't seem right for Dublin. 116-123. There's a number missing there. We'll check out. Oh, it's a free phone, is it? Right. Pieta House, 1800. This is free phone. 247-247. For teenagers, the Teen Line Ireland is a free phone number. 1-800-833-634. That's for teenagers aged 13 to 18. Right. For under 18s, Childline. Again, free phone. 66 66 66. Or if you're struggling with mental health, Spun Out. You can text Spun Out, which helps young people who have mental health issues, to text the message to 50808. That's 50808. And let's see, have I anything else? Pieta House is a free phone number. I think I gave that 247 247. Aware, for people who might have depression issues, again, a free phone number, 804-848. That's 804-848. And one more time, the Samaritans is 01-116-123. Kira.
Clem, I just believe the Samaritans is 116-123. I think that's just it for the Samaritans. If anybody wants to call that number, you don't need any prefix.
Okay.
Just to let people know. Nuala Clean now joins me. She's the Social Democrat Councillor with Selbridge Leixlip MD. Hello, Nuala.
And Nuala is there right now, Kira.
Nuala, sorry, we missed you there. Good morning. We're going to begin with you asking the council to consider providing a new sustainable travel access route. This is for walkers and cyclists from the proposed upgraded greenway access point at the canal to the area at Westfield. What was the council's response?
Yes, they haven't included it for the 2022 consideration for NTA funding submissions, but I did want them to put it on the list for consideration. It's a good way to take people on a very nice walk away from the road. You'll often hear us giving out about the R449 and the speeding and stuff like that, so where we're looking for more sustainable, more pleasant areas for people to walk. And it's an area of new population growth where new housing estates are going up there, so I just thought it was a very good idea to link it up with the Greenway project that is going to go ahead this year. So it just really increases the amount of, you know, open space that people can enjoy that takes them away from road routes. And I just think it's more preferable for people than just walking along the side of the road where there's busy traffic.
A swimming pool in North Kildare, something we continue to speak about. You've asked the council to consider booking a pop-up pool via the initiative Swim Ireland for a 12-week period. This would cost approximately €25,000. You say as a trial for the MD.
Yes, so I had raised it at full council to buy an entire pop-up pool for the county, and then when I was doing my due diligence with Swim Ireland, they had mentioned they had a vacancy from January to March for an existing pop-up pool, so I wanted our municipal district to book that for January 2023. Now, the council did have been in discussions with Swim Ireland, and they were fairly positive that they could achieve that and get that in place, and it's just about finding the right site now. But I do think that obviously a full-time working pool is preferable, but I think in the interim, to give people the opportunity to enjoy an amenity in a pop-up version is really what we can do right now. And it's a minimal amount of funding investment, you know, compared to the entire budget of the MD. So I am pleased that people will get the opportunity to enjoy that, and I wish it every success. And I'd actually just really prefer to have a full-time pool, as would everybody else in the district. But I think for now, as an interim solution, I think it's very positive. So I am delighted that that will be going ahead.
Okay, we're moving back to the Westfield area. You asked the council if it had plans to reinstate or repoint the road safety signs. That's at the Westfield roundabout.
Yes, I had reports that there was kind of some of the safety signs were obscured, but the area engineer has been on site, and I think that's been resolved now. Some of the hedging must have been cut back or whatever, so there's no signs are obscured now, which is great news. So I was delighted with that.
Okay, and finally, you asked for confirmation about proposals, if there are any, for the social leasing schemes in the MD for 2022 to 2024.
Yeah, so we only really got information about this year, and these are new social leasing units that we didn't know about already. So as you know, there was 60 odd in Barnhall there last year, that might have been allocated this year as well. So actually there's quite a lot. There's 60 coming down the line in Barnhall and Leixlip. There's 75 in a new estate in Oldstown Mill in Selbridge, and then there's a few under the approved housing bodies. There's 20 in Westfield and 6 in Dublin Road in Selbridge. So this is quite an expansion of the social leasing method of acquiring social housing, which means that the council would rent the properties at up to 95% of the market rate for 25 years, which is not the best way to acquire housing. It's a government proposal under their Housing for All scheme. So I was just interested to know where we were going in that direction, because actually we'd asked for that to cease, but obviously it's still these units are still being delivered. So I'd be interested to see if there's any being delivered in 2023. I feel it's better to purchase the units or acquire them under Part 5 rather than lease them. So it's just really about getting that data and seeing where we are with the leasing of those units in our municipal districts.
Okay, Nuala, just before I let you go, you're obviously a councillor for Selbridge Leixlip MD, and news that Kildare County Council has announced an agreement between the council and the parish of St Patrick and St Bridget. That is to purchase the parochial house on Main Street in Selbridge, including the lands, and they plan to develop it into a new multi-purpose community facility.
Well, yes, we were advised of this in a meeting on Friday. Now, it was announced by Father Joe yesterday, and then Kildare County Council issued their press statement yesterday evening, I believe, about 5 or 6 or 7 o'clock. So it is exciting for the municipal district. And actually, what's really lacking, we do have some, but it's any addition to community facilities is really to be welcomed. And I believe there's plans for theatre space, for rooms. It is going to incorporate an expansion of the existing Selbridge Library, which is kind of up the road, so hopefully Selbridge Library will be retained and used for something else. But I mean, it's a beautiful space. I don't know if you've ever been there, and you know, when it does open, when it is completed, I'd urge you to go and have a visit. Like, it's a beautiful part of the town, and it's really exciting to have something delivered for the community. I mean, the thing you'll always hear us give out about is that there's not enough for the community to enjoy.
Yeah.
There's not enough spaces, there's not enough resources, so an investment of this type is incredibly welcomed and is to be celebrated. And
absolutely.
I can't wait to see it open. So yeah, I'm really looking forward. And actually, when you see that the library projects that have been done in the county, say for example in Athy, is an absolutely amazing job, and when you see the redevelopment of Nace, so I'd hope that it's as grand a project as that. You know, we haven't seen the plans yet, but I'm sure that they're going to be good. So yeah, we're all really excited about that.
Thank you, Nuala, appreciate that time this morning. And just to let people know, it does include a library, cultural centre, meeting space, spaces, playground, outdoor performance location, sensory garden and outdoor amenities more for north of the county there, Clem.
Thanks, Ciara, for that. Thanks indeed, Nuala. Now, going back to the prisons and the cells going into, or the phones going into cells, the news of that emerged because of a question that was put to the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, by Sinn Féin TD for Kildare South, Patricia Ryan. Her question in the Dáil was asking the Minister for Justice her plans to provide in-cell phones in each prison, the restrictions that will apply to their use, and if she will make a statement on the matter. Owen, what did the Minister say?
Yeah, so the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee's response was, I can inform the Deputy, which was Patricia Ryan, that the project to provide in-cell telephone across the prison estate is complete in Castlereagh, Cloverhill, Midlands, Cork and Limerick prisons. This excludes the old female unit as the new unit is currently nearing completion. The prison service is acutely aware of the importance of assisting prisoners to maintain close contact with family and friends while in custody. Both play an important and supportive role in the rehabilitation of prisoners and in their preparation for life post-release. And the in-cell telephone project will enhance the prison's service's ability to provide prisoners with a platform to support this contact. The prison service anticipates the completion of in-cell telephones to the Doka Centre, Portlaoise and Wheatfield prisons by the end of 2022. This is dependent on the ability of the service to acquire the relevant equipment. Like many businesses, the IPS is dealing with supply chain issues for technological equipment at present, and as a result there are delays being experienced. Minister McEntee goes on to say, subject to the availability of necessary resources, the prison service intend to provide in-cell telephones in Arbour Hill and Mountjoy Male Prison in 2023. She finishes by saying it's important to note that the same restrictions and oversight will apply to in-cell telephones as apply to the existing prisoner telephone systems. Calls will be limited to certain pre-approved numbers. Call duration, the monitoring and recording of calls will be in line with the current process.
Which is the answer Helen McEntee, Minister for Justice, gave to Sinn Féin TD for Kildare South, Patricia Ryan, who actually brought up that topic first. And therein is the answer to our question. Would they be able to ring out for a pizza or a burger and chips or anything else like that? Again, the calls will be limited to certain pre-approved numbers. Call duration, the monitoring and recording of calls will be in line with the current process. Patricia Ryan also posed the previous question to the Minister, asking the Minister for her plans to establish a female open prison and if she'd make a statement on the matter. Now, we won't have time to bring the full statement on that, but actually we might go to it after 10 o'clock. But she just said, I wish to assure the Deputy that I am very cognizant that female offenders represent a particularly vulnerable group within the prison system. It is the case the provision of an open centre for women was considered in the context of the probation service, Irish Prison Service Joint Women's Strategy for 2014-2016, which sought to improve the outcomes for women. A joint working group between the two agencies recommended that the most practical and cost-effective way to address the needs identified was to develop what's called a step-down facility for women in this regard. So they're planning towards doing that anyway. Those questions posed by Patricia Ryan.